Will you join me in prayer, please? Loving God, you who open up our hearts to joy, you who teach us the meaning of your love and your grace, we thank you, God. We thank you for holding us, keeping us, and reminding us of your joy. Amen. Here we are still in the season of waiting. I keep telling you every week that we are waiting and waiting. And what can't wait? Today, joy cannot wait. In the candle liturgy that we heard this morning, we are reminded that the darkness does not have the last word. We are reminded that that creeping feeling that we are not good enough, that we are not worthy of God's love, that we don't belong, that all of that does not get to have the last word. We are inspired by joy. And this is a season when it is a little bit difficult maybe to be inspired by joy. Does anyone struggle with that concept right now? No? Nobody finds this season a little bit difficult? All right. Let me tell you something about joy. Joy takes real courage. It is really hard to experience joy. It's hard because, like many things that are pleasurable and good, we're scared we're going to mess it up. Right? From the moment that something wonderful starts to happen, we think, how is this going to come crashing down and destroy us? And that's not how God's joy works. Kylan, our little saint today, for our one representative of the Little Saints Academy this morning, did a great job telling us about joy, saying that joy is happiness, but it's more than just happiness. And when I asked him, can you feel joy and feel sad at the same time, what did he say? Yes. And I didn't feed him those answers in advance. Neither did Nilda. Because that's something that kids tend to know. And that us, and as the Little Saints Academy folks call it, Big Saints Academy, some of us maybe forget that we can feel sad. We can feel depression. We can feel all of those negative feelings that often rise up this time of year, but throughout the year as well. And we can still have joy. Because joy is something that is permanent. Joy is something that cannot wait. Joy is not the thing that we're going to have later when we get the job that we want, when we meet the spouse that we want, when we have the right house or the right place to live or the right car to drive. That is not what we are waiting for to experience joy. Isaiah talks to us, the prophet Isaiah talks to us about God's presence and how God's presence gives us courage. And remember that we need to be brave in order to feel joy. We need to be brave to know that it is okay to feel joy. God gives us strength, Isaiah tells us, when we are timid and afraid. Being timid and afraid is easy. Right? It's easy to feel scared. It's easy to be afraid. It's easy to think, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. But feeling joy, that's not easy. This passage from Isaiah speaks to us of God's judgment and salvation. And judgment, you know, we get a little nervous when we start talking about judgment because so many of us have been beaten up by judgment language. But judgment is so important. It is so important to judge what is unjust. It is so important to name injustice so that we can transform it into justice. God calls out whatever it is that separates us from God. Whatever separates us, God's people, from God's purpose, God calls that out. Not so that we can be squashed like little bugs and told that we're not good enough, but so that we can be filled with God's love, so that we can be transformed and changed, so that we can go on and help people live into that calling that God puts into our lives and into theirs. In the Isaiah passage, we heard that no traveler, not even fools, will go astray. We're not going to mess it up. Sometimes we might feel foolish, right? I mean, I'm not saying that any of us are fools. But sometimes we might feel a little foolish. Sometimes we might feel like we can't get it right. Sometimes we think, I'm just going to sit here and wait, and it's going to get better. My fellow procrastinators can relate to this. I'm just going to wait, and it's going to get better. But some things cannot wait. Sorrow and sighing will flee away, but only if we do not wait. So let's talk about Mary. Today we heard the Magnificat, the song of Mary. What do we know about Mary? We know that Mary was young. Now, in antiquity, in this time, it was typical for people to get married quite a lot younger and to have children quite a lot younger than we do now. But even by the standards of the day, Mary was young. She was probably around 12. So let me just plant an image in your mind of a 12-year-old being told that everything that you think is going to happen is not going to go the way that you want it to go. Those of us who have raised children know that at 12, most people lack the emotional capacity to say, you know what, that's great. Let me sing a song of praise to the Lord. I won't comment as to whether or not my two teenagers, when they have been told that things won't go the way they want, they definitely stop and sing a song of praise to the Lord, as all pastors' kids do. But think about Mary, young, underprivileged, coming from a family that didn't have the right social standing. And what does she say? She says, I am blessed. Generations will call me blessed. But does she look blessed? God has chosen her. She is blessed. But I'm going to imagine that Mary maybe didn't actually feel super blessed in that moment. But we remember that you can have joy and fear at the same time. I believe in a Mary that was terrified, unmarried, potentially disgraced. The things that could have happened to her as she has found out that she is going to have a child. She was facing a life or death situation. She literally could have been killed because of this child that is growing inside of her, and her not having the right social standing, and her not being married, and her not having all of the things. She didn't go register on Amazon to get the pack and play sent to her. She didn't have expensive food or clothing. She didn't have anything to make her comfortable. She was a child, and God said, this is happening. And she praised God. And I want you to imagine this. We think of, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary, without sin. We think of her as perfect, especially those of us who come from a Catholic background. Mary is perfect. Let me also tell you, and I'm not doing my Catholic ancestors wrong by saying this, so don't worry, that in that perfection would also have been fear. In that perfection would have also been not knowing. And just like every single parent, even Mary probably didn't know what she was doing. You know, in that parenting thing, we get pretty good at faking it, but she was scared. And in that place of fear, she said, joy cannot wait. Joy cannot wait for me to get over being scared. Joy cannot wait for this situation to get sorted out. And, you know, like, she was betrothed to be married, and it didn't go well at first when she told Joseph what was up. In fact, he did the best he could, which was, I'm going to put her aside quietly as not to disgrace her. That was the best option. Now, of course, it turned out even better than that. And he didn't have to do that. And he chose to stand by her, even though people would talk. People would tell him for the rest of his life, this man who is raising Jesus. People will tell him for the rest of his life and for thousands of years later, well, he's not the real dad. But we know here at MCC Tampa that you don't have to be part of making a child to be a parent. And we know that he loved Jesus. And we know that he gave an image for us of loving Christ, of all of us who get adopted into that love of Christ. And Mary will does she know at this point? Probably. But she will learn very soon from Simeon that it's not going to be an easy path for her. This child that she is carrying, that she loves, this child that God has said, you are going to put everything on the line for, she is going to watch him suffer. She is going to watch him die. And there is nothing worse for a parent than watching your kids suffer. I get choked up even thinking about watching your kids suffer. And Mary, a child herself, is faced with all of this information, and what does she have? She has joy. Not instead of fear, not instead of anger, not instead of, I'm sure, stomping her foot, and they didn't, like, have doors the same way we do with the hinges and stuff, but I'm sure she found something to slam, and in the midst of all that, she had joy. What an amazing lesson that we can learn from a 12-year-old. In the midst of the things that we don't like, as we go to our doctors and get news that we don't want to hear, as we go through life and we don't get the promotion that we want, as we do the things that we don't want to do, think about that joy. Because we can be annoyed and angry. We can fight with each other. We can not like our situation in life. We can wish that we had more, and we can wish for better, and we can fight for justice, and we can call out oppression, and at the same time, we can have joy. God celebrates with us. God celebrates even when we are not content in our station. God celebrates with joy. God's redemptive work begins in joy. And we need some anger, and we need some frustration, and we need to call out injustice. As the prophet Isaiah tells us again and again, to speak our truth in the face of injustice. And we don't get to lose our joy in that. We don't get to say that I'm not good enough for joy. We get to live in a place of dignity and honor, claiming our seat at the table. Even when we have been told we do not belong, we get to say, well, I've got enough joy to go around, and I am claiming my spot at this table. I will magnify God. Will you magnify God? Think about that. We magnify God. Because Mary taught us to do that. And many of us were taught that Mary was perfect, and in her own way, absolutely, Mary was perfect. And in that perfection was a little girl who was scared, who had gotten some shocking news. And she said, I will magnify God. I am blessed. And if this child is blessed, in this amazing and, let's be honest, quite strange circumstance, then who are we to say that we are not blessed? Who are we to turn away from joy? Who are we to give up on that thing that God has given us? Joy is delight. Delight. Think of something that you delight in. Think about something that makes you feel joy even when you are sad. That is that place of delight. Whether it is your own child or a family member or an event or this church community. Because there's a lot of joy to be had here. There's a lot of delight. And delight in that no matter what. I'm not saying to reject the reality of suffering because we will suffer and we will do it together. We will face things that we don't want to face and we will do it together. And yet, at the same time, we will have delight. Because delight cannot wait. We cannot do the work of justice that Christ calls us to every single day of our lives if we do not have delight. We will get angry and bitter and burnt out. We won't want to do it. We'll hate the work. We need delight. What brings you delight? This family brings me delight. This place that is a safe place for us to come and be ourselves, even when we have felt rejected by church, this can bring us delight. And even though it is not a perfect place, full of people who are not perfect people, except for me, of course. No, just kidding. Especially, you know, when we're busy and we might forget something, we might not answer a text message, we might mess things up and we think, oh, I am the worst. Remember that God delights in us. And nothing can take away that delight. That delight cannot wait. We cannot put it on hold. We are not waiting until December 25th, and then we'll be happy. We are experiencing delight right now. On the cover of our bulletins this week, we have this image of Mary visiting Elizabeth, and we know that the child inside of Elizabeth leaps with joy as John, who will become John the Baptist, experiences the Christ child. What would it be like for us, even at the core of our being, even before we understand the world around us, to leap with joy? That is delight. That is the delight that cannot wait, the delight that we carry with us, the delight that we cannot let ourselves extinguish within us. I invite you, my friends, magnify God in your lives. Magnify that delight that Christ has put in you. Amen.